everyone, welcome to episode 24 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog.
Today is Sunday, the 26th of April, and we're in a slightly different location today. We couldn't get our usual room at the library, so we're out in the library. So, you know, you get a feel for the books surrounding us, maybe. No. But you can probably hear there's going to be chatter in the background from other people, so we'll try and be quiet for them, but you might hear something. Sorry. Okay, so today we've got a joint review of Magonia by Maria Devana Headley to talk about, and we've got a bunch of news. It has been 4 weeks since our last episode.
Don't ask me what happened to the last 4 weeks.
We were really busy. I was camping. You went away for the weekend.
I only thought it had been a couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
And then when we looked at the date, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry about that. But yeah, we've just been really busy. So we've read lots of books. So we've got lots to talk about.
Well, you've read lots of books. I haven't been so good on the book reading. But that's another topic.
Yeah. So firstly, I thought we might talk about some new stuff first, just because I had it there. And the other thing I want to mention was first that we know that listeners are out there. Hello to all you lovely listeners. But we don't hear from you very much. So we'd love it if you could do us a favour and send us an email, contact at teaintheTreetops.com, or leave us a comment on the post and just tell us that you're there so we feel like we're not shouting to the void. So yeah, we love you. We know you're out there, but speak up. All right. I apologise. This news is a little bit old, some of it, because I did write the list out sort of last week, and then we didn't end up doing a recording.
Yep.
So, firstly, we found out that one of our favourite authors, Isabel Carmody, who's we've been waiting for such a long time for this final book in the Ober Newton series.
I'm positive mentioned her in previous podcasts, we both started reading this series when we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
We've been out of high school for a long time, people. like a long, long time.
No, we're not old. Come on.
We're not old, but 10-year reunions have voluntarily passed. Let's just put it that way.
Well, anyway, finally, Penguin have announced that they have a release date of the 12th of November this year, 2015, for The Red Queen, which is the final book. I believe it is being split into two parts in the US, but they'll probably be released at the same time.
Descending
was... Descending? Well, one of the other ones was split into two for the US as well. So.
Yes.
So, it's all happening. So that would be great.
Until I see it hit publishers, I'm not going to believe it, because there have been a few false announcements for this book.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that they would have made such a big deal out of it if it wasn't actually really going to happen this time.
Maybe they've seen the full draft.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's hope that
it is exciting in any way, even if I'm sceptical. It's exciting.
Yeah, and if you haven't started reading the Ober Newton series, there are 6 books to catch up on, so you might want to start.
it's worth it, though. It is worth it. You've got definitely. The whole year, basically. Well, you've got 3/4 of a year to get there, to get to the last book.
Maybe we should say a little bit about it. It's like a dystopian world, our world in the future, possibly after a nuclear holocaust type
thing.
But
it's a fantasy.
It's fantasy.
The
characters in it have
misfits.
They have sort of superpowers, almost magical powers. They can read minds, or talk over distances in their minds, and talk to animals. And there's lots of different ones.
This is what I love about it. It's like a mix between paranormal, dystopian and fantasy, and it actually has parts about it that fit all those categories. But even if you don't like one of those particular topics, I think you'd still enjoy the overall series.
There's 6 books already out, and
more if you're in the US and you're going through the US series. But don't ask me how many, I couldn't tell you.
It's just one book split in half, so it's not like
it's
the series
only one
is longer.
It's not 2 books.
I think there are at least Descending was split in two, and maybe the one before that was also split in two.
And to make things more confusing, in one of the previous splits, one of the books was called The Red Queen in the US release. So this version of The Red Queen is not the US version of The Red Queen.
It is way too complicated.
They really didn't fix that very well. Anyway, that's up for Penguin and Isabel Carmody to discuss and sort.
Well, I'm sure later in the year we'll We'll be doing a lot more about that, I think.
I'll have to reread a couple of the books because I can't for the life of me remember too. What's happened.
I reread all of them before The Descending came
so
out.
So did I.
And so I'm probably going to have to do that again. So, okay, the other big news that was out last week that we were really excited, well, I was like fangirling all over the place about, was this new Star Wars trailer. If you saw it. Or
I am.
Are you a big Star Wars fan?
I am a huge geek when it comes to a lot of these things, but Star Wars never did it for me. I've watched them multiple times.
We can't be friends anymore.
Watched them multiple times. You know what? I still couldn't tell you the story of Star Wars 5 or 6 or whichever the first one. They just, to me, were so boring. They just slipped my mind.
Oh,
I know.
No.
I know. People are horrified everywhere. But
well, I've been a Star Wars fan since I was very small. And
then The Phantom Menace was just a joke.
Yeah, it was a fairly poor movie.
The only good part of the entire series was when Yoda battled.
Yes.
Let's be real here.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyway, that was my very harsh...
I'm trying to think of some other redeeming feature of the prequels.
My very harsh take of Star Wars.
I think the main thing about it is that George Lucas is such a trailblazer for effects.
Oh, yes.
So the actual visuals of it are amazing. So
Don't get me wrong.
The original series that came out, 1980...
Was ahead of its time.
Was way ahead of its time. And you look at other movies of that era, I don't want to say Tron because it's like a major cult thing and people love it for what it is, but other movies that came out around that time that were sci-fi were terrible now. You look at them and go, are you serious? Anyway.
I completely agree with you, but I still think you need to have a really good storyline, and I don't think George Lucas is the best of story writers. But I fully appreciate that I am a small minority in this opinion.
Yeah.
So that's
well, anyway,
fine.
The Force Awakens is episode 7, coming out at Christmas, I think, probably. I think it's during December for most of the world, but in Australia that means like Boxing Day, probably.
Yep.
I don't know, usually out.
Yeah, generally everything's released Boxing Day.
And the trailer looks amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I'll have to watch it. I'll watch
put
the trailer.
A link to it in the post so you can see it.
Fabulous.
And then you have to watch the one about babies reacting to the trailer.
Because I've seen that link. I haven't watched it, but okay.
These little kids are just like, sorry, bad radio. That's can't do visuals. Okay. The third piece of really exciting news is that we are going to TeenCon 2015 Sydney Writers Festival in May.
Yeah, it's
May
a month
24.
Away. It's a month 24. Away.
It's just less than a month away. Woo-hoo. We've booked everything. We're coming down, and that's going to be cool. So if you're going, I mean, the tickets are sold out already, so sorry if you're just hearing about it. You can't go unless there are people selling their tickets. On. Well, it's free, so how would you get a ticket? I don't know. But anyway, if you're actually going to it, let us know, because we'd love to meet some.
And we're child-free, so we actually could go out to dinner like normal adults.
Yeah, that'd be great.
There needs to be a bloggers' dinner.
Well, maybe we could organise something like that. We'll see. And I'm also going to... I'm investigating the options of recording using my phone, so maybe we can do some recording at the actual
festival. Oh, like a roving reporter style.
Yeah, well, maybe
oh.
we can talk to some people about how they're enjoying
yes,
it.
Yes, any other bloggers that are there, let us know.
Maybe we can... Maybe if we're meeting them.
We can rove report.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the options there. I don't know how much space, like, voice
that
recordings
take
move up and take on my phone, so we'll see. But, yeah, so that's coming up. Very excited. Okay, I've got a couple more bits of just random news that I've heard. So we've started the new series of Game of Thrones.
I've
had a few episodes now.
I have not watched them yet.
You haven't watched any of them?
Not the new episodes.
I have
just finished... Us poor people in Australia only just got Netflix, like a month ago. So I have been binging on Orange is the New Black, which I have now caught up to date. And it was fabulous, by the way. Nothing related to this podcast, but it's a really good show.
Yep.
But anyway, because of that, we haven't been watching Game of Thrones, and we are now going to rewatch season 4.
Right, okay.
Before we watch it. But then we can binge on the episodes that have been released. So,
yep.
No spoilers,
no,
please.
No, I won't say anything about them. Actually, to be honest, not much has happened yet because it's, they're just setting it up. And
that's a worry because, there's only 10 episodes. God
damn
it, I want stuff to happen.
The first episode is always just catching up with each character to see what they're up to.
But there's been two now.
I know. Well, stuff does happen in the second episode, just not anything sort of really major.
Okay.
But anyway, there's plenty to come. I just wanted to mention that there, for book readers of the Game of Thrones series, George R. R. Martin has released a few excerpts from The Winds of Winter, book 6.
So the one that's not yet released?
Yeah, that's right. And a new one just came out a few weeks ago. I didn't write down the name of it. It's just a chapter that's from Elaine's point of view, and I don't know if you know who Elaine is.
No.
So okay, so I won't spoil it. I won't say anything. But
I might be. Maybe I should know who she is, but I can't think of who she is.
It only gets revealed later in the book, so I can't remember if they have done that in the series yet.
Yep.
So I won't say who she is or what she's doing. But if you haven't seen that chapter, it's pretty good, and it sort of gives you an idea of what's coming up, maybe. And it's on George R. R. Martin's website, so georgerrmartin.com. I'll link it in the post anyway, but there are other excerpts as well, actually. There's one from Arya's point of view, I believe. I haven't read it, though.
Yep.
So I'll have a look around and see what I can see. But so that's... Who knows when Winds of Winter is going to be released, but at least we've got a few snippets to...
He's keeping you on tenterhooks through the process. Yeah,
I'm sure it was released to coincide with the new series coming out on the TV too, so
yes.
You know, just to get it, remind everybody that there's new stuff coming.
That the books are still coming, yeah. Okay.
All right.
And then you've got the final piece of news here, which I think I only mentioned last podcast, that Mortal Instruments was being redone as a TV series,
right.
Seeing the movie was, let's be real, a bit of a flop. Mm-hmm. Not as big a flop as The Vampire Academy, but still a bit of a flop.
Yep.
I blame the music. Anyway, that's another issue.
But anyway,
but yeah. It's being redone as a TV series, and they've chosen the actor for Jace Weiland, mm-hmm. and his name is Dominic Sherwood, of which we might put a headshot up. I don't know. There's been a headshot that's been doing the rounds.
Yes.
So, yes, and he's also playing. He also played Christian Ozera in the VA film. So, if anyone's seen that flop of a film, that's who it is.
I'm not sure about this because I don't like it when they cast the same people in similar film, like movies and whatever. Because, for example, in...
I don't know, Shailene Woodley and...
Yeah, that was the main example I was going to use.
Yeah,
that guy,
I can't think of the guy, which is really horrifying.
Ansel, no, something like that.
Ansel Elgort.
Ansel. Okay, so I didn't like it when he and Shailene Woodley were both in Fault in Our Stars and... Divergent.
See,
because they were different characters, but they looked the same, and it just my head couldn't cope with it.
Okay, see, I actually think that they were different enough, and they're both good enough actors. I felt that they pulled it off. I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't watch Fault in the Stars, so that doesn't help.
Oh,
them,
but you I just watched in my head. It. You can't make a call on this one.
Well, I know, but it's just my brain can't cope with the fact that someone who looks the same is two different people. I don't have any twins in my life, obviously.
As someone that's actually seen both movies, I can safely say I had my concerns before seeing them, but after seeing both movies, zero concerns.
Okay.
Maybe with not great actors, but, you know, this isn't the first time it's happening. Chloe Grace Moretz played Mia in If I Stay, and she's also going to be the lead in The Fifth Wave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's going to be coming out soon.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's for another podcast, obviously. We'll have to go look.
Actually, maybe we should get the book club to go and see that, I think, and do it as a book, because it's a great book.
Yes, it was a good book. It was a very good book. I haven't read the sequel yet.
No, I haven't either. Anyway.
I've got it, but I haven't read it anyway. Okay,
all right.
Okay,
that's another story.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I haven't seen...
I feel
apart from Vampire Academy, I haven't seen him in anything else, I don't think.
I feel like all these YA books, are going back to the actors being used for the same... like different roles. I feel like there's quite a few YA movies from books now, and I feel that they're using the same talent pool and they really need to broaden their horizons. Like, for me, the great thing about a YA movie is it's a great time to find new talent and really let that new talent, like, you know, take a risk. Like, if there's ever a time to do it, it's on a YA film. They've got a huge star audience.
Yep.
If you get some great raw talent, you've made a new star, like, and
right.
Then you've got a new star that's solely you visualise in that particular series.
Yep.
That's my thoughts anyway. Like, let's be real, are you ever going to be able to see any of the Harry Potter cast as anything other than the Harry Potter characters? Like,
Well,
and they were all unknowns because they were young.
Yeah.
But it works. It works. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean,
I should become
in this
a movie,
producer. I mean, in this TV show, The Shadowhunters Chronicles, which is going to be called, I'm sure there's going to be other people in it who are newbies.
Yes, so I hope so.
Maybe they need someone with a big name to bring people in.
But is he really a big name?
Well, no. But,
he's been in something and it's in another YA. Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway, I'm really hoping that comes out on Netflix.
He's a very nice looking chap. And I feel really old when I say that because he's like 20 or something. And I'm just like, yeah. Anyway.
Right. Okay.
Let's do our joint review.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so, I'm just gonna put a little asterisk here. I read Magonia, which is what we're about to review, a long time ago. But I'm hoping it all comes back to me when we read the synopsis and Angela starts talking about it.
This is our joint review for Magonia by Maria Devana Headley. It's an extract from episode 24 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. To listen to the rest of this episode and all our other episodes, go to teainthetreetops.com. So this is our joint review for Magonia by Maria Devana Headley. It will be released in a couple of days' time on April the 28th, 2015, and it is being published by HarperCollins.
Okay, so the synopsis. Neil Gaiman's Stardust meets John Green's The Fault in Our Stars in this fantasy about a girl caught between two worlds, two races, and two destinies. Arza Ray is drowning in thin air. Since she was a baby, Arza has suffered from a mysterious lung disease that makes it ever harder for her to breathe, to speak, to live. So when Arza catches a glimpse of a ship in the sky, her family chalks it up to a cruel side effect of her medication, but Arza doesn't think it's a hallucination. She can hear someone on the ship calling her name. Only her best friend Jason listens. Jason, who's always been there. Jason, for whom she might have more than friend feelings. But before Arza can consider that thrilling idea, something goes terribly wrong. Arza is lost to our world and found by another, Magonia. Above the clouds, in a land of trading ships, Arza is not the weak and dying thing she was. In Magonia, she can breathe for the first time. Better, she has immense power. And as she navigates her new life, she discovers that war is coming. Magonia and Earth are on the cusp of a reckoning, and in Arza's hands lies the fate of the whole of humanity, including the boy who loves her. Where do her loyalties lie?
Right.
It sounds very epic.
Is it coming back to you?
Look, it is coming back to me. I really will say, I remember finishing this and I was really divided. Even putting in a rating, I was really divided because there were parts of this that I just loved. And there were parts of this that I just was really meh over. And it was big enough parts, though, that it was enough for me to really find it hard to rate how I actually felt about this overall book.
Yeah.
Because I loved it and I didn't like it at all in one. And it's pretty unusual for me to be quite that divided.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, what was I going to say? Yeah, I'd loved it. I thought it was so whimsical, kind of amazing world building, sort of descriptions of the world above the clouds.
Totally
just
agree.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of cloud whales flying by, mm-hmm. raining lightly on the land below. I was transported. I loved it. there were parts of it, yeah, I agree. There were parts I thought were a bit weird. And I didn't really get on with the writing style. So basically, it's written from two points of view, from Arza's point of view and from Jason's sometimes.
Her best friend, yes.
Yeah. And it's almost written like it's been written down, or some kind of stream of consciousness thing where it's written like a journal almost. So
from Jason's perspective, it definitely is.
Well, it is kind of from Arza as well because it's got plenty of things like, I can't even. And,
yes, but like when you read Jason's, you feel like you're reading a diary. I didn't quite get that impression when I was reading Arza's side of it
There's
much.
There's lots of sort of, I'm going to sound old again when I say this, but it's sort of teen vernacular, like the way that people talk these days, speak, but it comes across as a bit awkward in a story, I thought.
I felt that she was trying to replicate a John Green style of writing. See, you haven't read a John Green book.
No, I haven't. No.
Like, especially Jason, this really super intelligent, slightly witty character, and just the banter between the two of them, I really felt it was trying to be And I'm not saying she did it badly. I actually thought it was very well written. That to me was one of the things that was the biggest plus for it. It was beautifully written story, and just I thought that was really spot on. But I did kind of feel like she was trying to replicate that. Like, she obviously, my guess is the writer loves John Green books, because I just really felt that John Greenish style of banter between those two characters.
So you think
only between those two characters, though, not nothing to do with the rest of it, and it's not a John Green book in terms of the content.
Yeah, so it is a bit of a mishmash then between a John Green style, romance kind of thing.
Yes,
and a proper epic fantasy.
Yes, yes. It really is.
That was the other thing. The epic fantasy side of it made it feel a bit short to me, because there's sort of two parts to this book. There's a part at the beginning where she's on Earth, like she's in at home, like going to school, having this friendship with
contemporary
Jason,
and
she's sick, she's dying, whatever. And then all of a sudden, part two, she's in Magonia. I won't go into details, because it's not really a spoiler, but anyway.
Yep.
And so it's only half of the book that's actually the fantasy aspect of it.
But
and
it's still building to go into the fantasy aspect of it. But I guess I really felt that this was just a book one, and I know you've said that there's no future books necessarily agreed upon yet.
There's none planned, I don't think, but
it's definitely written it feels like there could be a start of a series. There's no question about that. It's just, it also can read as a standalone, but I think you're right. If you read it thinking this is a standalone, it does fall a bit flat of that epic fantasy vibe, because it builds up to it and then it kind of finishes.
Yeah, I thought so. The ending, like the action sequences are awesome, like they're very tense, kind of well written.
The action sequences were what I had a really big issue with, is I felt the transition between the two parts of the book just didn't work. Like I found myself rereading it going, I don't get what happened there. And then there were explanations given, and I'm like, I don't get those explanations. I was like, am I missing something? But it just, to me, that hadn't been fleshed out, that idea, well enough. Yeah. And it didn't. To me, it drew me out of the fantasy, and it made me think, "Whoa, I can't believe that! Even in a fantasy session, like even in a fantasy book, that isn't believable." And that to me was a big, big thumbs down. Sorry, using my kindy child's language style. Thumbs down, thumbs up. That was a big thumbs down for me. Anyway, I just it took me out of that book, and that that really should have been tightened, because I'm sure if I felt that way, there are probably many people that felt that way.
Okay. The other thing that I found a bit weird was that the magic in the book comes from singing, and
which I like the idea
of. That was awesome. It was an awesome idea, and in practice it was brilliant to read about. But where does the power come from? Like, I don't like magic systems that don't obey the laws of thermodynamics. Like, energy has to come from somewhere,
and birds don't live in people's bodies. Sorry, I won't say anything.
I know you have to suspend your disbelief to read a fantasy book anyway, but
I prefer
power to come from somewhere before it goes somewhere. And she was just
not from within.
She was just singing, and like the ground was turning to water, and it was like
there wasn't enough explanation about why she was so powerful. Like, it was all just assumed.
She could automatically do it, even though she'd been living on Earth her whole life
and had no training.
Yeah, which I like people to work for their power, but anyway,
she did work a little bit, but not very hard, let's be real.
Anyway, that's just a small bugbear. I think I did actually end up giving this 5 stars still.
Did you? See, I was torn up between a 2.5 and a 3.5. I really struggled with it, because I really felt that transition should have been a really important, meaningful transition. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I felt Jason, as much as I actually really liked him and I liked his perspective, I found it unbelievable that he would continue looking the way he did.
Yeah, I
loved his mums. I love the Earth mums. Yeah, I just love them, all of them. I love Jason's mums. I loved her parents. I really disliked the... And this is where I think my other major bugbear with it is. I really was drawn to the characters on Earth. I really like them, I really could not have cared if everyone had died up above. And I think that there needed to be a few more characters that made up above likable to make you want to be torn. Like, I wasn't even remotely torn. I think she was better off sick on Earth.
You don't actually get connection with any of the Magonians.
No, like, and the mother is just horrible. I just, I just felt that there was nothing in that above the world which should have been so wonderful and fantastical. There was nobody up there that made me think, you know what, this is worth staying for. There was nothing about it. They were harsh to her, they were rough, the entire society was cruel, and there was not enough plus for me to think, why would you ever want to stay there?
Even
being able to live and breathe was not enough to me to go, why would you want to stay there? And why would you? I didn't feel it was believable for her to be torn.
Okay.
I felt she had too much going for her down on Earth. Like, as much as she felt
able to live on Earth for most of
There's parts of a story there that kind of cover that, and this is why I also think it's a sequel series.
Yeah, well,
because it's giving her outs. Skipping her outs in her decision-making process. Anyway, I'm torn. I'm thinking that I'm going to have to do... I just can't decide if I... I can't just give it a 3, because to me a 3 is a... I like it, but it's all right. I feel like I either really liked it and it's worth like a 3.5, or actually I'm on that I don't like it and I don't think I could be bothered reading it again, Scarlett. Okay. I just haven't decided... Sorry, I'm not normally this wishy-washy with my star ratings.
Well, I, based on the sort of things that I didn't like about it, now I'll probably drop it to a 4.5 at least. But I don't think I want to drop it to a 4 because I really did love reading it. I thought it was a great read. So basically, if you like the sound of airships in this, like, hidden in the skies of Earth, and bird people basically who can sing to do magic, and if they go down to Earth they drown in the thicker air.
All the history was great,
the world building was just amazing.
The world building was just amazing, and the setting up of fantastic. The world above the sky was amazing. It does have a little going for it. I think I'll probably read the next one, and that's going to have to be my plus or minus on. Sorry, I don't want to say don't read it, because I think a lot of people have really liked it, and I think it does have things going for it. And the author, considering she's a debut, has a lot of promise. There's no question about it. She is a good writer.
Yep. All right, so...
read it, don't read, read it. Read Let it. Us
no,
know.
I think you should read it. Okay, let's move on.
We've had a few battles in our joint reviews.
Look, that's the idea of having joint reviews, so you get two different sides. Hey? All right. So what have you been reading recently?
I've been a bit of a slack reader. I didn't realise I'd been a slack reader, but I really have been a slack reader. So I got on a complete whim. I decided to not read YA or review books. I decided I was going to go back, and I really felt like reading more of the Outland series. So I'd read book one quite a while ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Liked it, didn't love it the way so many people seem to do.
Yep.
Have been liking the series. Don't love it the way I love Game of Thrones, but I've been enjoying the series.
Yep.
So it was a bit of a surprise to me that I all of a sudden had this I must read Dragonfly and Amber vibe, but I went with my instinct, and I've been reading it, and I've been really enjoying it. So anyway, halfway through that at the moment.
Yep.
Can't get too addicted to it, because if I end that book and decide I have to read the rest of the series, no one will hear from me again for the rest of the year. I'll be stuck on Outlander.
There's quite a few of them.
There's 8 books, and they're all about 1,000 pages long. So, So before that, I had a big miserable flop, and I think this is what ate up the majority of my reading time. So our book club book this month, which I was quite keen to read, was Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins, which was chosen by Annie, I think. Did you choose that one?
Yeah,
I think it was a bit of a collaboration choice. But
I was listening to the Readers podcast, and they recommended it, so I was chuck it in there.
Yeah, and look,
it was good.
I was liking it, but then I hit 54%. And a couple of things happened, and for some reason they just really bothered me, and I kept procrastinating, and I was like, I'm not reading the rest of this book, I just don't like it. And I seem to be the only person with that point of view.
Yeah, other people in our group read it in one day.
And yeah, and that's fine, but I just found, yeah, the character's really difficult, and I'm a bit disappointed because it did seem like a good idea. I loved Gone Girl, similar sort of vein. Yeah. Maybe I'll try that again another time. Maybe it was just the wrong time for me. I've read some really different books this last month, because then before that I read my favourite style of book, which is a ballet book. Yeah. I've never done ballet, but I love the ballet world. Oh, okay. And anyway, this is like a ballet murder mystery. It's kind of like a teen Black Swan.
Okay.
Nowhere near quite as hardcore, but quite disturbing nonetheless.
Yeah.
And that was called Tiny Pretty Things. And if you love a ballet book, I think this one's really worth reading. And I couldn't put it down, and I couldn't stop reading it. And I read it, though I'm not going to lie, even though I think I give it a 4 or 4.5 star rating, there were a lot of things that made me go, what? I did not get that at all. And I finished the book, and I still have no idea who done it. Like, just like quite seriously, I finished this book going, I don't know who did that. Who did that? I really don't know. Yeah. And I've read at least one other review where they also didn't get it. So I'm not alone. And I really hope there's a sequel to that one. I really do. It was opened up that it could be, but that's a good thing about the ballet world. It's a ballet school, like, you know. Yeah, it can always, yes, that's right. It can always keep going type thing. So, anyway, that one I think I gave 4 stars. It was very good. And if you like a good ballet book, I definitely think read it. And then the book before that I read, that I'll just mention quickly, I only read the 4 books. I'm not like you. I didn't read 10 books in the last month. Was Mind Games by Terry Terry. Now, this was another review book. It was actually published at the beginning of March. So I was a little bit behind on this one. It had a really good premise. And it's kind of this, it's like society today, but virtual reality, like you know, the internet is taken to that next level, and everything is in VR. Mm-hmm. All your schoolwork and stuff is done via virtual reality, but there's a group of people that are like conscientious objectors, kind of like vaccine debate. Anyway, we're not going into the vaccine debate, but you know, you can, on religious terms or medical terms, there's grounds for being an objector, but you are literally one of only a few that don't do it, and you're kind of teased by the rest, and you're sort of shunned and an outcast because, well, everybody's having parties online.
Right, okay.
Anyway, it's the main character's a refuser. That's the same. That's what the conscientious objectors are called. She's a refuser. And it's a very complicated world, and it's all about hackers, and, you know, it's a dystopian type government. Big corporations, the evil type story. And it was really good, and the world was really interesting. And then it got to the end, and the last, like, 30% of the book just went into extreme, this is not remotely plausible, this is not remotely realistic, and you've really let the rest of the book down, which is a real shame. And I will also add, is quite disturbing. Be prepared. So I just don't quite, it was definitely a standalone. There's no opening for more of a series.
Yeah.
But it really is a torn, because I really enjoyed the world. I really enjoyed the whole, like, you had hackers that could sort of hack outside normal hacking lines. And she came from and genetics and hacking kind of all get linked in here. Mm. And it was a really interesting idea. And I was really disappointed with where it went, because it was really quite depressing and implausible. Anyway, so I have to put that down to, I think, 2.5 stars, unfortunately. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. Okay. I know. I love a good VR story, but no, it just didn't do it for me. Okay. So anyway, that's what I've been reading.
Mm.
And we've both got the same coming up book, so I won't mention my coming up books. We'll mention that together after you've said what you've read. Are you going to actually list all 10 books, or are you
going to
skim?
Okay. You don't want to hear a list.
Sorry.
I did read 10 books, but it was because a couple of them were really short, and quite a few of them were middle grade.
Yeah.
So the ones I'll pick out to mention, just after our last episode, I picked up Avery by Charlotte McConaghy. I might have actually been reading it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an amazing book. It's by an Australian author, and it's like a proper YA fantasy, like, love story, basically. And yep. it's a really beautiful love story. But the one thing that was a bit sort of not great about it was that one of the main relationships in it is a abusive relationship. So a bit of sort of domestic violence going on. Not
domestic violence in the YA. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not particularly graphic. Yep. Oh, there are parts of it that are graphic, like war scene parts. Are quite grisly at times, but it just brought the whole thing down for me. Like I really loved the rest of it. It was really beautifully written, but the fact that I think the main thing that I didn't like about it was that at the end, I don't think this is much of a spoiler to say, but the woman who's being abused just stays there, and she loves him so much that he comes around and she redeems him, basically. And I don't think that's a good message to give out, because if you're in an abusive relationship, the best thing for you to do is get out of there, in my opinion. I don't know. It's different for everybody, but I think removing yourself from that dangerous situation is
always
better,
the best move. Unfortunately, in reality, that's never what happens. But, let's be real here. If this is a fantasy, we don't need to stick with reality.
I know, but I think when you're dealing with real social kind of issues, I don't know. But anyway, it brought it down a little bit. I really enjoyed the book itself. Like, the story itself was really good. So there's a sequel to that one, which I can't remember the name of. I think it's called Thorn, maybe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm going to try and pick up that at some point. So that was released a few years ago. They're re-releasing the paperback, so yep. I had it for a review. Pennyroyal Academy by M.A. Larson came out late last year. It's a middle grade fantasy set in like a grim fairy tale kind of land. Like mm-hmm. it's got areas, like the cities are named after sort of German cities, and there's a big wilderness area called the Dorchen Wild, which I thought was really funny. That's like one of the Grimm brothers' wife's name. So Pennyroyal Academy is a school where you go to learn to be a princess or a knight.
Okay.
And the heroes of Pennyroyal Academy are the famous princesses like Cinderella, Snow White, you know, fairy tale princesses. Yep. But princesses in this world don't just sit around and pretty. They are basically soldiers who fight with their powers of good and just, you know, being merciful and compassionate and stuff.
Okay.
And they have magic that can overcome these evil witches which are in the land. And
this is definitely a middle grade, right?
YA, I think.
Oh,
older middle grade.
Okay. Younger YA, okay.
And it's really...
Sounds cool.
It's well written. Like, it's witty. It's funny in places. But also, it does have a bit of a weird kind of strange romance thing going on with it. There were things about it that I thought were a bit sort of, why did you do that? You shouldn't have written that about it.
Okay.
But the actual premise itself is really cool.
Yes.
So the boys go and enroll as knights. And the girls go as princesses, but then there's one boy who's in the princess class because he's one of like 23 boys or something in the family, and his mum always wanted a princess, so he had to go and be a princess.
That's a bit weird.
But he did really well in it. So it was a weird situation.
God.
But as far as I can tell, there are no girls being knights.
Oh, it's all just one-sided.
So it's a bit girl power, but it's not...
It's not doing enough to do social change.
I don't know, it's weird. Anyway, it's worth a read. It was pretty good.
Yep.
There's dragons involved, so I thought, yeah, dragon, let's go. So I also read Half the World by Joe Abercrombie, which is the second book in, I think it's called Shattered Sea series. The first one was Half a King, and I didn't like that when I read it last year. It's only 6 months ago that the last one came out. But... I didn't really like it. I thought the main character was a bit whiny and kind of, I don't know, it was a bit slow, kind of. I didn't really like
it
that much.
But you still chose to pick
this
up book
one,
two.
Yeah, I got sent it for review, so I thought I'd give it a go. Because the world was interesting, and I thought, yeah, let's see what it's about. This one's brilliant.
Oh, good. So it's worth sticking through book one to get to book two.
Yeah. The characters in this one were a lot more likeable and interesting. Like, there's a girl who's like a warrior, where all the other warriors are guys. And she's pretty blokey, like she like picks her nose and, you know, does stuff that is pretty soldierly. There's this like romance part thread through it where she's really, really awkwardly kind of learning about falling in love. and that the world, they go on this big journey across the world and just half the world, and the world itself is really awesome. And and the characters actually have this fantastic banter between them, the really funny kind of dialogue a lot of the time. So yeah, I recommend that one. The first book, a lot of people loved the first book, so maybe it was just me at the time, I didn't like it for some reason.
It does, but the second one's worth it. I really feel reading does sometimes, like if you're not in the right mood, and this is what I've really noticed since reading review books and why I'm more willing to let a review book date slide now than I used to, because if I'm not in the right mood for a type of book, it doesn't matter how much I push myself through it, I'm not going to like it, or it's not going to get it's not going to get a real review. And that's why, as much as I loved the first book of Rachel Hartman's Dragon series, I just can't bring myself to read Shadow Scale because I'm just not in the mood for that type of book.
And
I don't want to ruin how well I enjoyed the first book by forcing myself to read that second book. Anyway, that's off topic, but yes.
Yeah, so I recommend that one. The third one, or the fourth one I'll mention, was The Vagrant by Peter Noonan. Now, this is like a completely different book to what I expected it to be like.
Okay.
I should have brought it with me because the cover is beautiful. Actually, I'll see if I can find the cover for you. But it's not beautiful, it's just interesting cover.
Yep.
So I'll show you. Here it is. So it's this...
It looks like a sort of an assassin type person.
Yeah, but he's got like a sword in one hand and a baby in the other hand.
Oh, is it a baby? I thought that was a bag. Okay.
No. Oh. And I saw the cover. It was sent to me like a paperback. So I looked at it and went, this looks amazing.
Yep.
And but it's a really interesting story in that the vagrant, who's that's his only name, he doesn't have a name.
Okay.
He doesn't speak. He's mute. And so the whole story is told basically by showing, not telling, basically.
Okay.
You know, the sort of old cliche, but it's a really descriptive, it's almost like you're watching it in the cinema, like it's everything is just described in with the minimum base, as minimum words as you can use.
So it could have been done badly, but amazing. He's done it really well.
Really interesting. And I think the thing is, you can't read it quickly. I had to sit there and think about everything because it's a very kind of, I don't know, it's one of those stories
where... It's a heavy
400
pages.
I got to the end and I felt really stupid because I was reading it going, I don't actually know what went on in a lot of that story. Like, because it's so sparse in the actual storytelling, you've got to think about what's going on, but it's really amazing. So it's very complicated to describe, so I'm not going to try very hard, but it is kind of like a dystopian sci-fi kind of fantasy in that they're on some other planet that is... there's like a rift open and all these demons have come out.
Okay.
And the vagrant is one of the Seraph Knights, who are like these good guys who can use magic and stuff, but they're sort of uber good. There are some gods that are associated with them, and but they got like eight or 10 years ago before the story, they were wiped out by these demons. So he's like one of the only ones left in the southern continent, which is called Blasted Lands, and it really confused me for a while because it's basically the same as Blasted Lands.
I get the reference.
It's just like desolate kind of nothing there. And he's journeying across this land trying to get to the Shining City, which is the knight's stronghold, with this newborn baby and a goat, basically, who's providing the milk. And it really felt like, because he was journeying, he didn't say anything, it felt like The Gunslinger by Stephen King, like the first in the
which I could never get through
series.
that's a side issue.
It's the same kind of feeling to the story at first.
Okay.
And I was really worried that it was all going to go badly and just people were going to die left and centre. And they do that.
Like the baby was going to die.
No, but the baby part of it is just absolutely adorable.
Okay.
It's so strange because on one side there's this death and destruction going on everywhere, and then the parts with the baby are adorable.
But that's probably why it's in there, because they need to have some light with the shadow.
I don't know, but the parts with the little... Because the baby sort of grows up a little bit as he's going on, so he's learning to walk and talking. Oh, it's just great. I love this story.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Children of Men, which is based on a book?
No.
It's a sort of similar. If you like that and you're okay with something dark, that was a very good movie. It was very, very good. Anyway, I won't go into that movie now. It's an old movie now, really, anyway.
To cut a long story short, I was worried that everything was going to be sort of tragic at the end, but it wasn't. It was lighter at the end. So give it a go. It's just called The Vagrant. It's open for a sequel, but I don't know if there will be, just because it was quite self-contained.
Yeah.
But I hope there is, and I'll certainly be reading more of Peter Newman's books if I can get a hold of them, because it was amazing writing. Okay, what else have we got? I think that's all, because
that's all you want to mention.
I'm going to say I'm currently reading A Court of Thorns and Roses. Woohoo! Sarah J. Maas new series,
and I promise I'll read that next.
Okay, that's so maybe we'll after, try to
if I review, oh maybe. I promise not to get completely hooked on Outlander books, and we'll go back to my review books after I've read book two.
So it's coming out at the start of May.
So we'll do a joint review, hopefully, of that next podcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good so far. I'm about maybe a quarter of a way in.
And that's the Beauty and the Beast retelling.
Yeah, loosely. It's like a fantasy world. There are fairies involved.
Is the writing as good as
Throne of Glass?
Yes. Throne of Glass. I'm like, my blank.
I should mention this now while I'm early on in the story, that I think the main character, who's called Feyre, is a bit flat in the personality department.
Is that because
she's not Selena?
Selena is the most awesome personality ever.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think so.
She's not the most awesome personality ever, but I'd like to meet her.
Yeah.
I'd have a good time with her.
She's well established now since they're up to several books in, but Feyre at the moment is a bit bland.
Okay. Well, it might get better later
in the book, so I'll update on that next week.
And we're also both, we've got a couple of books that we're going to be reading in conjunction, which is always exciting.
Yeah, there's some great books coming out.
So both of us are going to do Rogue from Julie Kagawa next. So we both did Talon, and I think we liked it more than, because Talon got quite a few harsh reviews.
Yep.
But I think both of us were a little bit more sympathetic to it. Like, I think
we didn't like it as much as we hoped we would, I think.
Yes, because we both like an awesome dragon, and and we loved the Talon Immortal. Was it the Immortal too, Rules? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
The Immortal Rules?
Yeah,
we loved that series.
And it was a bit too teen summer romance-y, I think.
It did have that aspect about it. So, anyway, this book could be a bit more hardcore.
Yeah. So, hopefully, we'll like that a bit more.
Yes, so okay, that's on our upcoming reads.
I think that's all we've got to talk about today. So if we've got on the blog at the moment, there's not a whole lot there because
I'm sorry,
we're all busy and oh god, I think we say that every week.
Well, the problem is, I think this year's brought quite a few changes because Natasha's pregnant.
Yeah, and I'm now back at work, and you've
picked up an extra shift. So I think it's going to be
an
extra day. Yeah, sorry. We're not McDonald's workers anymore, but you know what I mean. It has made it. I need to get back in the habit. That's my problem. I've got out of the habit of writing, and I need to get back into the habit of writing. Though I have no idea when that's going to be.
Well,
seriously.
But in the meantime, the blog has had a bit of a facelift recently. We've changed our header and some of the content has changed a little bit, so if you haven't been to Tea in the Treetops for a while, go and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions for things for us to talk about, you can do that by emailing us at contact@teainthetreetops.com, or you can tweet us at @teatreetops.
Of course, you can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all our book reviews, at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teainthetreetops.com. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time.
That's right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Sound like a phone call. Thanks, bye.